Thank you for joining us in the Copy Room, where you get to listen in on thoughtful, vulnerable, and honest conversations among educators who are as fiercely devoted to this profession as you are. My aim is to serve you well, nourishing your teacher's soul so that you can move through your week with just a bit more to offer our kids than you had before you listened. You're working so hard to take care of our kids. My intention for this podcast, ultimately, is to take care of you. I want to thank Dirt Path Publishing, a small independent publishing house dedicated to publishing works for social good, for continuing to support the production of this podcast. With editing and coaching services for writers, these folks know how to have the hard conversations in service to your best work, and they know how to do it with love. Dirt Path Publishing is also proud to announce the release of my new book, Nothing's Missing, A Year of Reckoning, Release, and Remembering Who I Am, written for anyone struggling to release the burdens of perfectionism and the tyranny of shoulds. For more information, go to NicoleLuciani.com. In the meantime, and always, welcome to the Copy Room. Mary Chai is the first guest on Copy Room Conversations who I haven't known for years. In fact, the first time I met Mary in real life, virtual though it was when we recorded this episode. In scrolling through Instagram as a way to procrastinate some planning tasks for season two, as one does, I happened upon a post by a group called Upworthy. This post crowdsourced contributions to the questions along the lines of, "How did a teacher inspire you?" As I swiped to look through the responses, I saw Mary's, who credited one of her elementary school teachers with the reason she went on to be a teacher. Given this was the theme of season two, I took it as two clear signs. One, get back to work. And two, reach out to Mary to see if she'd share her story. To my delight, she said yes. We had a few brief email exchanges, but then I found myself a little worried. I don't even know this person, or know anyone who knows her. Why did I ask her to be on the show? What if it's a waste of my time? I'm guessing Mary had her own worries. Something along the lines of, what on earth have I said yes to? Thankfully, within about 30 seconds of Zoom time, I knew my risky choice was the right one. Mary is our people, through and through. And the story she shares about the teacher who inspired her to be a teacher is weep-worthy in the very best way. Now deceased, Mary's teacher's legacy lives on through Mary, just as Mary's legacy will live on through the children she's taught over the years. Paying it forward, working to honor those who came before us by serving those who come after. Mary knows this to be part of her calling, just as she lives and breathes the truth that we belong to one another, and there is no such thing as other people's children.
We had to hurry and grab all of our things we went to online for the lip. Like, we have Monday and Tuesday off, but then our district went to online learning for Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday.
Oh, God.
So I just kind of threw everything in different bags.
Yes. Is that because of the variant that everybody's sick?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. They're having a really hard time staffing everything right now. So
yeah. That's what we're I work in an education nonprofit, and we work across the country, and there's a school or a district in upstate New York, like the whole district just closed because they had no bus drivers and they had like one lunch lady, and they couldn't keep folks in. It was terrible.
That is awful. Yeah.
It is.
You can't really run a functional system this way. It's been really hard. I know in my role I have to take on a lot of extra responsibilities right now, and it's hard, you know.
Yeah.
You have to kind of find that place in yourself where you can get past this is hard and just show up and do it the best you can. So
yeah, I feel like this pandemic has exposed the fact that our society relies so heavily on schools to do all the things, right? We don't have the infrastructure to do all the things, but we've been just doing it because, like you said, that's kind of in our DNA. Like, we show up and we do the job. We serve our kids because they need to be served. It's such an interesting time and such a difficult time. Tell me where you're in Salt Lake City.
Yeah. Okay. I live in Sandy, Utah, and I've been a teacher for 14 years, and then I went back and got my second bachelor's.
Okay.
And so right now I am a speech therapist in a special needs program.
Mm-hmm.
So still with the same district that I was teaching in, just in a different capacity.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's been really interesting and fun and exciting, but
yeah.
Kind of expand my horizons a little bit. So
totally. And did you get to that place in your teaching career where you were like, okay, I've grown, I've learned, I've done, and now I'm ready to try something new? Or was it something else that pushed you to a different direction?
I think it was a combination of similar things to what you're describing, mm-hmm. and also my kids getting older. My son is 21 and my daughter's 20.
Mm.
And so for me, it was all of a sudden in the summer, I was alone.
Yeah.
They all were off with their friends and doing other things. And I was sitting at home, and my husband at the time was traveling a lot for work. And I just thought, I want to do something a little bit more for me. And so I did a lot of research, talked to a lot of people about the next course in education that would be best for me. And rather than do my master's in education,
mm-hmm.
I felt like doing my bachelor's, second bachelor's in speech pathology would open more doors mm-hmm. in the future for me. And so that's the route I went.
Mm-hmm.
It's and it was fascinating. So fascinating. I love language, and mm-hmm. You know, for years, you have all these students that you're like, oh, I just can't pinpoint why.
Mm-hmm.
Why are they having a hard time with reading comprehension and all of these different listening skills and things like that? And mm-hmm. so it's just been so amazing to look more at language acquisition and all these little fine points of language and understand them better. So it's just been everything I would have wanted and more. I've really enjoyed it.
That's amazing. I feel like language is kind of like the internet in a weird way. Like nobody really understands. It's just kind of magic. We just kind of assume. But if there's a little glitch, right, somewhere, it makes it all the harder to understand how to help, because we just take language for granted, right?
Yes. And so I have taught first, second, fifth, and sixth grades.
Mm.
And so I got to see like early childhood. What did that look like in first grade with beginning readers? And oh my goodness, they just didn't have, like, you could teach them the letters one day and it was gone the next. And you're like, why? What is going on? And then in sixth grade, obviously, if they didn't have good language skills, and it really showed with comprehension and math, you know how it is with reading.
Yeah,
it affects them across the board.
Mm-hmm.
And so I really started to wonder, like, what is this? And then when I taught second grade, I was like, okay, this is enough. I need to have answers.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So it was the perfect field for me. And maybe someday I'll get my master's. We'll see how life sorts out.
Yeah, I taught for 20 years, and it came to that point where I was like, I don't want to be a principal. I don't.
Yeah.
And so I was an instructional coach for a long time and did professional learning and things, and then now work at this center, which is good work. I just feel like I needed to be doing something that was more intimate. You know, teaching is so intimate. And I bet you still feel every day like what you do matters, because you're with kids every day, right? I think something happened when I left the classroom. Like, does what I do matter anymore? Like, I just can't. I just need some intimate connection with people.
Yeah.
And this time is so difficult for our teachers. And I thought, how can I nourish them? How can I be more connected? And so that's where this podcast was born. That and the fact that I miss the copy room. You know, I miss the team spirit. I miss the, how's it going? Oh, how's this kid? You know, I miss that so much. So I felt like, what can serve me that I can also serve others? And I've always wanted to do a podcast. So that's kind of where we are here.
I love it. I'm so proud of you.
Oh,
that
thank
takes
you.
So much courage to do that and
thank you.
Try new things. And
yeah,
it sounds like you've been passionate about it for so many years. So
I have.
I was like, this is so cool. This is just fun.
Thank you. Well, I think it's like you. You know, my kids are older. I have one in college and one who's a junior in high school, and just does not spend a lot of time at home. You know, as he shouldn't. He's blooming as he should. And my husband just took a job in Montana, of all places. Actually, he's much closer to you than he is to me because he flies through Salt Lake to get there and back. And so I'm really like, what to do? And now my dog's chewing on a bone behind me because
Charlie, come on, bud.
Okay, so are you in the same district where you taught? You said you were,
yes,
right?
For,
okay.
Yeah, I taught in a charter school for 9 years, mm-hmm. and then moved to the district, to one of our local districts, the one that was nearest to me at the time. And so this is my 7th year with them.
Oh, that's quite a long time.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah.
Okay. And then the last thing I want to ask is just do you have any questions for me before we get started in the official line of questions? Anything you need to know or to feel comfortable?
I mean, I don't think so. I just trying to picture this as a conversation with a friend and, you know, a fellow teacher who, I mean, like you said, being in the copy room, it's like all of the back and forth and how can we support each other?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Great. Yeah. Well, I'm thrilled.
Do you think
here.
There's anything I should know going forward that would be helpful?
I don't think so. You know, it's really, I'm just so grateful that you said yes, because how random is it to get some DM from some stranger? I think it's so funny, but I saw your, you must have, how did that Upworthy thing, did you answer a call or a question or how did that come up?
I just posted a reply. I hate to get emotional already.
Oh, that's
but
okay.
It is
Listen,
something
I cry
that's
all
always,
the time.
It's always so close to my heart. My parents, my mom is from El Salvador and my dad is from the U.S. And she is just an incredible person. She's an educator herself now. Mm-hmm. And retired, but is actually educating still. But she... just her story alone is just fascinating. Mm-hmm. But we just didn't have a lot growing up, you know. Mm-hmm. They were both getting their bachelor's and master's degrees at the same time with 7 children.
Oh my God.
And so we just didn't have a lot. Mm-hmm. And when I was we moved from a small town in Utah where there was a high Native American population. Mm-hmm. And then we moved to a smaller town in Utah mm-hmm. where there wasn't anyone of color. Mm. Really, our family was the only other family. There actually was a family that was Navajo that happened to be there as well. But that was it. Mm-hmm. It was us. Mm-hmm. And so moving there, I started my first grade year there. And it was really isolating, and a lot of teasing. It just was hard. It was a hard start. It was a move. I was a sensitive little child.
Oh,
and
yes.
There's just, you know, when you're a little kid, you just need that. And I had a second grade teacher who was just awful. She was awful to me and would point out the differences and say, oh, just because you're brown, you won't get this part in the play. And I was just so shy
oh
and
my
like
God.
Sensitive that it really impacted me.
Yes.
And so in third grade, when I got Mrs. Ashby, it was polar opposites. She was this soft place to land. Mm. She really cared about who I was as a human being. Mm-hmm. And saw that sensitivity in me and saw that hole that needed to be filled by just somebody mm-hmm. and would offer she noticed that I loved art. And so she would offer to have me stay in at recess and draw on the board. And then when the other students would come in, she would point out, look at this amazing art that Mary did. Maybe she can teach us how to do it sometime. And so there were moments where I would teach the class, oh, this is how you draw. I remember Halloween in specific because I used to love drawing Halloween scenes and Odie and Garfield.
Oh, yes.
And so she would just, and from there it piqued the other students' interest in me. And at that time she notified my parents, you know, I think Mary's gifted. And so she had me tested for the Gifted and Talented program. And I started that year. And so it went from me being, you know, sad and lonely and hardly any friends to, you know, I had a good group of friends. I was in an educational placement that was more exciting for me. And it really shifted my life. She would come and visit my home when my mom had my younger brother and bring us dinners. Would come and she just really went above and beyond for me. And it changed my life. It was that
quite
pivotal
literally.
Moment.
Yes.
Literally yes, changed yes. my life. And so for me, going into education myself, that was a big part of why. I wanted to hopefully someday do the same for another child somewhere. And it has been so fulfilling because being in education this long, all of my first year students are now getting married and having children, and I'll get messages from them, and it's very satisfying. And I know what you mean with that satisfaction of being with the kids and being surrounded by that give and take, right? That I see this problem that they're having and I want to give back, and how do I do that? And and also teach them these concepts at the same time and make them feel loved and make them feel important. And so anyways, that's how the Upworthy comment came to be, was me reflecting on my gratitude for Mrs. Ashby and the role that she played in that pivotal time in my life. And I'm just very grateful for her. It really
lovely
changed me.
Yeah. And you mentioned in a conversation we had that you sent a letter to her at one point.
Tell us
about that.
So when I had started teaching, I had a few experiences where children had come to me and thanked me for the efforts that I'd put in. And it was very touching for me. And I thought, why am I here in teaching now? And what helped me to get here? And it was her. I mean, the answer is very clear. And I just felt very strongly that I needed to reach out and say thank you. So I looked up her phone number in my same little hometown that I grew up in, and wasn't able to get a hold of her, but her daughter said that she had been ill and had some Alzheimer's, so she was not able to understand everything, but recommended to send a letter. And so I sent the letter, and the daughter followed up with me and said that she received it and was very happy when she heard. So it was really like a calming moment for me to be able to know that she knew that I was grateful. I was actually able to say thank you.
Oh my God, what a relief, right? That you listen to that nudge to reach out, because the window would have closed otherwise.
Yeah.
Oh God, I think that's such an important message to folks as they listen to, if they have somebody to thank, you know, do it now. And it's interesting because the whole first season for Coffee Room Conversations was about belonging, and it was dedicated to the people I love and credit my career to. And many of them are older now. You know, I think the oldest among them is close to 80. And I'm so grateful that we did that, because I just feel like I've said everything I wanted to say. You know, all these years that I felt so grateful for them, and I don't know if they ever really knew, but now I know they know. And that's, yeah. It just, you're right. There's a peace about that. It feels like the circle has been closed.
And that's a great way of describing it. The yeah. circle is closed.
Yeah. Yeah. And now we're on to the next, you know, you think about, I always think about that idea of, the stone being thrown in the pond and the ripples that, you know, that go forward. You were a ripple of your teacher, and now you have kids who will be the ripple of you. I mean, what a legacy, right? How lucky are we to get to do this job?
Isn't it amazing?
It is.
To have those little moments to hopefully reach somebody.
Yeah.
And yeah. I've had so many experiences that have just been incredible, heartbreaking ones, and yeah.
Yeah,
it's been awesome.
Both, right? Because there are yeah. many kids, I'm sure you feel this way, where I didn't get them where I wanted to get them. You know, we didn't get there. We didn't, they dropped off or they moved or something happened. And I taught high school, so, you know, maybe somebody got pregnant or whatever. And I just had to learn to be okay with, I hope I did my part. You know, and we pass the baton to the next person charged with their care, and we trust that we're not the only ones who love them, you know?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I think that's interesting because you get a lot of different types of educators, as you have seen mm-hmm. throughout the years, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's part of what's sometimes missing from the top down. Is the acknowledgement of who you have in the classroom. Mm. You mm-hmm. have these human beings who are extremely capable of reaching other human beings in a way that can touch their lives to initiate change for them.
Yes.
Where
yes.
it's not just we're delivering curriculum. You know, we're not the we're not robots.
Yes,
we're not just your average off the street person. I know that because many of my friends are like, well, I couldn't do that. And,
yes.
and they truly couldn't. That's okay.
Mm-hmm.
I really admire fellow educators that go above and beyond to reach not just the standards expected of us, but the humans.
Yes.
And I think when I learned more about you and watched what you were doing, I felt that from you as well. Mm-hmm. And that's why I think I wanted to reach out, because I was like, oh, here's another human being
yeah.
that really gets this passion of who a child is and yeah. their potential in life.
Mm-hmm. Indeed. Well, I feel like it's interesting when you were describing yourself as sensitive as a child and a little bit lonely. That's exactly how I felt. My circumstances were different, obviously, but it's almost like the world is a little bit too hard to bear for us sensitive souls. And we need to find some tools, and we need to find our people, and we need to find our work that allows us to live in this world that's a little bit too brutal for us. It's my sons are both like that too. And it's hard to watch them because I know how it feels on the inside. You know, I don't think yeah. they have the loneliness that I did, but they might. I don't know. It's an interesting thing that where empathy grows. You know, I feel like it grows in the souls of little lonely children who just want to be reminded that they're loved, you know. And now here we are, and we get to do that for kids every day. I think that's just so extraordinary. We have, let me actually go to the questions that we have. We've gotten, actually a lot of them organically, which is really lovely. I'm wondering, I think teachers, really, they're spiritual actors in this world of ours, in that, everything we need to learn, we're presented with in the form of a child, or a family member, or a colleague. And because we're oriented to learning, it really is an opportunity for us to think, okay, where do I need to grow here? What do I need to learn? You know, the students that are so difficult for us, they're supposed to be our teachers. Like that's, I believe that's how this whole thing is designed. I had terrible conflict issues with conflict. And of course, every kid I got wanted to fight, right? Because I needed to learn how to deal with conflict. So I'm wondering if there's anything that you look back and you think, that was really important that I learned from that child or from a member of their family.
Oh, that is an excellent question. And I got tingles when I heard you say that they are our teachers, because genuinely there have been moments of that throughout these years. I have learned, do you want a more broad description or really specific examples?
Whatever you like, whatever, or both, or doesn't make any difference, whatever you like.
I've had everything from, let me pinpoint a personality that's always been a learning opportunity for me. I think it's those really active boys that just can't sit still and have a lot of energy and, you know, the activities that you design, they're just not really that interested in, and they want what they want, and they have just really active little souls, and you know, sitting down in a chair, it's just not going to happen for them. And that's always challenged me. And it's so funny because I had a little second grader who was like that. And it was hard. Every day was hard. But I just kept thinking, okay, what can I do? What does he need? And what can I do to kind of make his life happen in a way that he feels safe and comfortable and engaged. So we did a standing desk. We switched things around. You know, a lot of things went digital because he was so more into the computer part of it, not the paper pencil. We did a lot of, first you do this and then this is your reward. I didn't know how he felt about me, even when the year came to an end, until last year when a teacher who was new to the school, who was now his third grade teacher, said, oh, Mrs. Chai, I have to tell you something. I've been dying to tell you. And I was like, oh, yeah. She said, that student is now in my class, and we had to write an essay on our favorite teacher and why. And he said, you are my second favorite teacher because Mrs. Chai is my favorite teacher of all time. And I didn't know he felt that because he never let it show. And yet it was like, yes, something that he could see the efforts and he valued that. And he did end up feeling that from me. And it was really, really empowering and humbling to realize, okay, when you do have those really challenging students, just try anything and everything you can to let them know, because something that you try will eventually hopefully reach them. And it's going to look different for each kid.
It's so beautiful having raised two sons who are exactly like you just described, and who were put on happy face, sad face contracts in kindergarten and first grade, and came home with sad faces every day because they couldn't sit still. It makes me like weep in gratitude that you gave that child the gift of being a learner in a way that honored who he was without shaming him. So, on behalf of mothers and little boys everywhere, thank you for that. And, you know, it's interesting. The work that I do is on cultural and linguistic responsiveness is what kind of the umbrella term is. But what we do is we look at students' individual rings of culture and where they really show up as their true and authentic selves. And so what we would say is that's a very typical boy. Schools are not set up for little boys like that. And how can we infuse movement in our instruction so that he feels like a learner, right? And he knows he's a learner, and he knows he's seen, and he knows his teacher is trying to honor who he is, right? And you did all of that. You did all of that kind of instinctually in your own way, because you knew this was a human child worthy of being himself. And that's so beautiful.
And I'm so sure I fell short many days.
Yeah, well, don't we all?
I think that's the key too, is, you know, it doesn't need to be perfect. It's just keep trying. Because it's not going to be that breakthrough for every child. It sadly is not. And you can try and try and never get there. Like you said, Nicole, you may fall short, but I think there is some peace at knowing that you tried.
Yeah.
And that you did everything you could.
And that you did it from a place of love for the child, right? You're not trying to control him. You're not trying to change him. You're trying to honor who he is and create a space for who he is and in your classroom. And I think that's just beautiful. How has teaching strengthened other parts of your life, would you say?
Well, when I was a little girl, I used to babysit my little brothers a lot because of the situation I explained. My parents both being in school.
Yes.
And so I would sit down and we would have class, and we would, you know, check out books and have library. And from that, I've always been an educator from that moment. I just knew. And so going forward as an adult and having this be such a major part of my life, you can't be an educator and really divide that out. In some ways, I can see parts of me that have been impacted through teaching, and other parts are just becomes who you are. When my friend's children come over, I'm like, okay, what books do I have around? What, what activities can I make? Yeah. That's just who I am. But it's hard to separate that, because I know a large part of that is understanding what children need and wanting to help them to feel safe. And I have noticed that it has given me a greater appreciation for the developing child, for the potential of each child. And through that, I think more gratitude as you see their struggles and what they're trying to achieve in their lives. So just a greater appreciation for the human experience, I think, because I have seen little kids come to school under really difficult circumstances, having death of a parent or of a loved one that was very close, and showing up with a smile on their face. And so for me as an educator, those parts that I see impacting my life, I want to say, oh, because I've learned all these things, I'm such a better mom and a better human being. But ultimately, I feel like it's the things that I've learned from my kids and my students that have made me a better, softer, more compassionate human being, because I see their strength. I see this little second grader whose mom passed away, who comes to school every day with a smile on their face and willingness to learn. And I think, to me, they have taught me more than I feel like, I don't know if that's...
No, I know exactly what you mean.
Getting to what you're saying, but I mean, I can't really separate what I've done as an educator into the other parts of my life. It's it's harder for me to dissect that. It's easier to look at what I've soaked in from others and how that's allowed me to shift and grow. I don't know. I'm sorry, Nicole, if that is
what are you an are inadequate you crazy?
Answer.
That's an extraordinary answer.
Roundabout to what you were asking.
No, you know, I think these questions are really just designed to get us thinking, right? And it doesn't matter what the answer is, as long as it's true for you. And and I can't agree with you more when you say that, you know, your students have taught you more maybe than you've taught them. I feel like that's our job to have them teach us. And it's a mutual experience, you know, being a teacher, together, we're learning together, and we're all becoming different people because we've been together, you know? And also, I think it speaks to you as an extraordinary educator that the child continues to come to school who lost her mom. I remember I had a boy who lost his mom, and again, I taught big kids, and he came to school the next day.
Oh, wow.
And I said, "What are you doing here?" And he said, "I needed to see you." And I just like started to bawl, right? But really, the school is the safe place for our kids so much, so much. And I just go back to
And it's so humbling. It is so humbling.
Yes.
It's a very, I'll call it this. It's a sacred calling. It really is.
Totally.
It's very, and you realize that, and it makes you want to be very sure to make sure that you're doing the right things for each child.
Yeah.
As important as curriculum is, and it is. Sometimes we lose sight of that, especially when the pressure is coming from the top down, that
yes,
this has to look like this and this has to look like that.
Yes. Like, yes.
Well, these little humans might need something a little different. And
that's where
I think the power of real, genuine, powerful teachers come into play.
Mm-hmm.
I had the opportunity through one of my positions at the school to travel to New York. Ooh. We went and visited schools that were implementing the same curriculum that we were at the time. And they had the highest scores in the region.
Wow.
Compared to private schools and everything. And these were schools in the inner city.
Mm-hmm.
So we went and had a chance to visit them and see why. What were they doing that was working?
Mm-hmm.
Because the circumstances that the children were coming to school in were really hard.
Yeah.
You had children whose parents hadn't been home in a week. They don't know where their parents are. They don't know where their next meal is coming from.
Mm-hmm.
When I was there, you saw children with their little first, second graders with high schooler shoes on.
Yeah.
Where they had part of the school's program, the principal started, was they would have a set of clothes that the kids would, they had uniforms, so the kids could come and take off their pajamas and change into their uniforms, and that they would wash them every day, their pajamas. So they would go home with clean clothes and come to school in clean clothes. They had people that went to the principal herself would go to the homes and knock on the door and be like, "Hey, your child's supposed to be in school today.
Yeah.
Where are they?"
Yeah. Uh-huh.
But this principal drove for 4 hours a day.
My God.
And that was her community. And that's what she felt was so important. And I saw these kids thriving in these really difficult conditions, and you want to dissect it and you want to be like, why?
Mm-hmm.
And it didn't come down to the curriculum.
Mm-hmm.
The curriculum was solid, you know, but it came down to the people who were surrounding these children as a community.
Mm-hmm.
And they refused to give up on them.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, wow, what a lesson to me that circumstances don't dictate who we will become. They can, and sadly sometimes they do, but to see so many of these beautiful people rise past those challenges was very humbling. I learned a lot through that visit.
Yeah, a lot more than the curriculum, as you say. Yeah.
A lot more than the curriculum.
Yeah. There's a thing that I feel like more than anything, we've lost a sense of belonging to one another.
That's interesting. I would agree. Yeah.
Your kids are my kids. There's no such thing as other people's kids. What impacts you impacts me. And I think we need to reconnect to that idea that there is something in our, you know, physical bodies as well as our souls that is the same. And we need to remember that what impacts one of us impacts all of us. And it feels like that was the ethic of that school. Like, these are our children. And we're going to act accordingly. I think that's yes, so important.
That is so perfectly stated, and mm-hmm. and it showed, mm-hmm. and it showed through the test, through the results.
Yeah.
And so
yeah.
It was a humbling experience.
Mm, that's beautiful. So there's this quote I love from a group called the Indigo Girls, and in one of the songs, there's a lyric that says, "If you have a care in the world, you have a gift to give." And it's my contention that we were all put on this earth with a particular gift, that when we all put those pieces together like a puzzle, we've got ourselves a real community. And so I like people to think about, what's your piece? Because really we're called to put that piece down, even if it's hard, even if it's scary. We're all called to put our piece on the table with everybody else's so that we can come together and form this community. So I wonder what you think your piece to the puzzle is for healthy schools. What would be the thing that you care about so much that it's become your gift or your calling card?
Wow, that's just a powerful concept. And I like how you tied in all of that. The way you said it was so beautifully stated, Nicole. It really is. I'm just like, oh, so calm when I hear that. it reminds me that we are all part of this larger piece of humanity. Mm-hmm. And sometimes we feel so separate, but we are all together. And I think that's what these little pieces of these stories kind of fill in, is it's those people that you're able to touch and that touch your life, mm-hmm. that remind you of that. Mm-hmm. As far as what piece I am to that, ooh, that's harder for me. I have a really hard time acknowledging things that I do that are good. You know, I know I do, but I think that's just my personality. And I think for me, probably some of the gifts that I bring to the table are, I bring a lot of heart mm-hmm. to the table mm-hmm. and sincerity. Mm-hmm. What you see is what you get. Mm-hmm. I think I bring a sense of team to when I show up to work. Mm-hmm. It's, we're all in this together. So mm-hmm. let's do what we can. I think that gift has allowed me to foster lifelong relationships with different colleagues that have been invaluable to me mm-hmm. And instrumental into becoming the human I am today. Mm. And the ones who are there for the same reasons, mm-hmm. we tend to gravitate towards each other.
Yeah, for sure.
That we're here, you know, we're not dramatic people. We're just pretty chill. We want the best for everybody. And we're just here to do a good job. Yeah. So I think I bring that gift of heart and wanting to work together. Mm-hmm.
It seems like you also have a real quiet leadership, that people follow you because you walk the talk. That would be my guess. I mean, I don't know. This is the first time we've met, and it's the first, and I've never met anybody who knows you, but I would guess that you are a very powerful and quiet leader, that principals feel so lucky to have you on their staff. That would be my guess.
Oh, you're very sweet. I would hope so, but you never know.
Well, we all do.
I've gotten good feedback, but you know, you can't. I'm assuming it's been a really good experience, I think, for the most part, to be with other people. It's mm-hmm. been fun. Mm-hmm. So I think that's what's gotten me through some of the hardest years, is that sense of team.
Totally, totally, totally. Yes, agreed. Well, I am going to charge you to work more on stepping into the light and allowing yourself the knowing of what you do well. I think that's really important, because we can't teach the ones who come after us unless we're really able to articulate ourselves, right?
I'm going to take that to heart. And I really
hope you do.
I'll give it a lot of thought, because it is, I think, for people who are givers, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. and I am one of those people, it's very hard to give yourself credit.
Yeah.
I often see the gifts of others before I see them in myself.
Yeah. Yeah. If nothing else, to feel grateful that you've been given those gifts so that you can serve others. You know, if maybe that needs to be your entry point, but really lean into that, Mary, because I think just in spending this half an hour with you, you're so special and you really need to understand why that is. So that's my charge to you.
Oh, you're very sweet, Nicole. I feel the same about you. I'm like, okay, where has this person been? Across the country.
Yes, yes. So do you have a favorite song to get ready for a great day with kids?
Oh. Well, I mean, I kind of have a rocker side to me, and sometimes they're not super appropriate for children, but
that's okay.
I will say on the last day of school, we had this tradition of listening to Pink Floyd, The Wall, every time we would roll up to the last day of school with my children.
Nice.
And so that always pumped us up for the last day.
I love that.
It varies. I think it just depends on what I feel like I need at the time. If I'm needing more energy, I do like Rage Against the Machine and some of those harder.
Good for you.
And sometimes I'm like in a more zen state, and a little Claire de Lune would be beautiful, to prep me for seeing these kids. But I don't really have a song in particular. I mean, you can always put on ABBA and you can't really go wrong there.
Totally.
Or any disco. I mean, really, you'd be safe.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. Okay. Our last question. It's a question we ask everybody. We're in the copy room. I'm cutting strips of paper. You're at the machine. It's all before school, you know, that kind of buzz that happens before school in the copy room. So as you're leaving, what are you going to tell us to help our day be a little bit brighter? It can be serious or funny, or what would you offer us as you walked out?
I would say just give what you can give. It's enough. Mm-hmm. And don't give more than you can. It's okay. Mm-hmm. It's going to be okay. Mm-hmm. And I think just show up and be who you can be that day. Mm-hmm. And if it's, you know, a rough version of you, that's okay. You showed up.
Yeah.
That's good. That's good enough for today.
Yeah.
Just put one foot in front of the other and keep showing up, and somehow it just happens.
I love that.
And before you know it, it's summer break and you go home.
I love that. All right, Mary. Well, it's been such a delight to spend time together. I hope we get to meet each other in real life one day. I would really love that.
Absolutely.
Thank you for sharing your precious time with us. My hope is it gave you some respite from your worries and some time to remember that we belong to one another and that there's no such thing as other people's children. If you enjoyed the show, please rate, review, and subscribe. These three things make a big difference in our ability to connect teachers to one another in service to each other and our kids. We also want to thank Dirt Path Publishing for partnering with us on this podcast. The mission of Dirt Path is to publish work for social good. They are proud to include Copy Room Conversations under that banner. For more information on coaching and editing services, or if you have a book you want to publish that you know will serve the greater good, visit dirtpathpublishing.com.